Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Just to recap on what we done last week, what we did was sifat, adjectives, and adjectives are describing nouns, basically words that describe the noun that comes before it. And we also mentioned, although it's not in the book, that sifat with the noun that comes before it, which is called mawsuf, okay, that has to be together in 10 things. Yeah, we mentioned 10 things that the both have to be same. First we said that in terms of number, wahid, ithnain, and plural, singular, dual or plural. So if the noun that's been described, not the describing noun is the sifat, and the noun that has been described, if that is singular, then the describing noun will also be singular. If the word that is being described is dual, then the describing noun will be dual. So the adjective will also be dual. And if the word that being described is plural, then the mashallah. Oh, you made it back. I have told you you're not coming today. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Right, no, we just started now. So basically, just a recap on what we did last week. So we discussed about adjectives, sifat in Arabic, which is called, that the adjective and the word that's being described, adjective meaning describing noun, that's what it means, describing noun. So the describing noun, meaning adjectives, and the word that is being described, okay, the both of them have to be same in 10 things. So one is the number, the actual amount. So if a singular, if one of them is singular, meaning the word that is being described, which we in Arabic call mawsuf, and then you have sifat. So the first word is mawsuf, and then you have sifat. Example, rajulun salihun, which means pious person, a pious man. Salih means pious. Rajulun means person. So pious person. So salih, pious, is the describing noun. It is describing the noun that's come before that, which is rajulun. So if you look into the book, example, make it very easy. Baytun saghirun. If you look in page number 6, at the first example, baytun saghirun, which means small house. Saghir means small. Okay? And bayt means house. Saghir is the sifat, is the adjective. It's the describing noun. It is describing the house. What is it describing? It is describing, it is telling us, informing us that the house is not big but small. So sagirun, you will call it sifat in Arabic, and in English you call it adjectives. Okay, so it's a describing noun. Okay, so the noun that which is being described, and in this example, baytun is the word that's been described, and in Arabic terminology, you call it mawsuf, meaning the word that has been described, and then you have the describing noun. Both of them have to be same in 10 things. So, first of all, a word can be singular, dual, or plural. So, if this word that's been described, an Arabic which you call mawsuf, if the mawsuf is singular, then the adjective, the sifat, will also be singular. If the word that has been described, which is in Arabic you call mawsuf, if it's dual, then the adjective will also be dual. And if the mawsuf, meaning the word that has been described, is plural, then the adjective, meaning the sifat, is plural. That was those three. Then if the mawsuf, meaning the word that has been described, is muzakkar, masculine, then the sifat, the adjective, will also be masculine. If it's mu'annas, meaning it's feminine, then the sifat will also be feminine. Okay? So these were the five things. And what else did we have? Anybody can recall? Dhamma, Fatha, and Qasr. Very good. So if the mawsuf, meaning the word that has been described, has a Fatha, which is Zabar, okay, then the sifat, the adjective, will also have Zabar, Fatha. Likewise with Qasra and Dhamma, both of them. Okay, so there we have eight. And there's two more. What else was it? Ta'rif. Ta'rif means definite, and tankir means indefinite. So if the mawsuf is indefinite word, it is not a definite word, then the sifat, the adjective, will also be indefinite. Okay, example like here, baytun means a house. It's indefinite. It's not talking about a particular house, is it? It's general. So the sifat, the adjective, will also be indefinite, will be general. So a house, it's not saying the house, a specific house, a house. So that is baytun, that is the sign of indefinite. So these are the 10 things we talked about. And then we did examples. Then we talked about waw, which means waw is a particle. Remember, we have a word in Arabic can be categorized into three. You have noun, verb, and particle, isn't it? Ism, fa'il, and harf. Ism, fa'il, harf. So these are the three building blocks of making sentences in the Arabic language. Same thing with thingy, English. So you got the verb, noun, and particle. So waw is a particle. Okay? It's called atf. Atf means to join. What does it mean? Join. To join. And what does waw do? It joins the word that comes after it to the word that is before it. So it makes it into the same category. So what does that mean? Makes the same category. It means that whatever the word before, sometimes it will join two sentences together, sometimes it will join two words together. Yes? So that is what atf means. And then we did a few examples. Let's go on to page 8. Asking questions. Here they've given two particles. One is hal, another one is ah. Okay, these particles are used to ask questions. To ask questions. You have others to ask questions, but they specifically talking about these two. Okay, now if you want to ask something which is inanimate, which is an object, then these are the particles that we use. If you want to you ask about something which is animate, especially human beings, then you won't use this word, you would use man, which later in the book we will do. So if you want to ask, say for example, about this, okay, then you would use this, or use another one which is ma. Again, we're not doing that now. So this is to question affirmative or negative. If you want to establish something or negate something, then you would use this. One is asking for the sake of knowing something, one is asking for the sake of affirming something. Yes? So one is you don't know something. Says, what is this? You don't know. Then you use mahadha. What is this? But in here, both, that's a question, and this is also a question. If you say ahadhihi mistaratun, is this a ruler? This is also a question. But this is, you want to affirm something. So is this really the case, or you want to negate it? No, this is not the case. So there you would use this type of questioning particle. But if you want to ask something because you don't know something, then there's another word which is ma or man, which we today are not going to talk about. We're just going to talk about this. As we go along, we will talk about that. So, there's slightly difference between hal and a. Both of them are used for affirmative or to negate something, but a slightly difference, which is not mentioned in the book, but it's here. Hal and a. Hal only comes on affirmative sentence, meaning a sentence which is affirmative. It would not come on a sentence which is negating something. Example, I've given an example. Hal qama Zaydun. Look, if you take the hal away, let's take the hal away. What have we got left? Qama Zaydun. Is that correct? If we take hal away, hal disappeared now. I've got it covered. Right there. What we got left? Qama Zaydun. Qama Zaydun means Zayd stood up. What does it mean? Zayd stood up. So it's affirmative, isn't it? Yeah. It's saying that Zayd stood up. It's affirmative. It's establishing something. Right? There, you would use hal. So if you want to reaffirm, or you want to establish that did he stood up, do you say hal qama Zaydun? Did Zayd stood up? So that's how you say in Arabic. Hal qama Zaydun? Did Zayd stood up? But you won't use it in a negative. If I take halwa again, lam yakum Zaydun. Lam yakum Zaydun means Zayd did not stand up. Zayd did not stand up. Now if you wanted to question that, you won't use the word hal. You use a. You say alam yakum Zaydun? Did Zayd not stand up? Then you won't use hal. You will use ah. Are we understanding? So if you take hal away, just pretend hal is not there, and pretend hal is not there. These are two. One is affirmative. One is negative. Qama Zaydun means Zayd stood up. Lam yakum Zaydun. Zayd did not stand. Or Zayd did not. Yeah, Zayd did not stand. So one is negative, one is positive. Huh? Now, hal, if you want to re-establish or affirm something and the sentence is affirmative, then you can use hal or you can use a. But if the sentence is negative, it's negating something, like here, it's negating what? The standing thing. Saying Zayd didn't stand up. Zayd didn't stand up. So you want to question that. So he's questioning. Hal, you wouldn't use hal then. You would use a. You would say, alam yakum Zaydun. You understand? Although both of them have the same meaning, but the application is different. Different is that one is more specific, which is hal. And a is more general. A is basically, you can use it anywhere. So if you were to use hal like as you would use a, somebody who knows Arabic would say he doesn't know grammar properly.
So you can use a in affirmative and
negative. But you can't use hal.
For a lazy person, we could just use a then,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's what it's for. It's for lazy person, a. Allah knew from beforehand. We have few lazy and we have few technical people. I'm only joking.
That's good to know.
Yeah. That's why you'll see in the Quran, هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ أَلَمْ And then you go, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَقْ أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ سُورَةَ وَالضُّحَى Many of you probably know وَالضُحَى. What's the verse in there? أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَقْ Did we not open your heart? Allah is talking to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Did we not open your heart up? So لَمْ نَشْرَحْ means did not open. But when you want to question that, alam nashrah, he didn't use hal lam nashrah. So again, for every single word in Arabic language, there's a purpose and there's a reason why it's been used. It's not just nilly willy, just put the word together. No, every application has a uniqueness to it, and it has a reason. It gives a different meaning. Yeah? So as you can see, hal only comes on affirmative sentence, e.g. hal qama zaydun, and not in hal lam yakun zaydun. Yeah? Number two. Hal does not come before a noun which has a verb after it. Hal does not come before a noun which has a verb after it. Example. This, as you can see, if I take the hal away, Zaydun qama. Zayd is a noun, the name of a person, which is a noun. Qama is a verb, which means stood up. Zaydun qama means Zayd stood up. If I take hal away, Zaydun qama means Zayd stood up. Now if I want to question that, I wouldn't use hal. I would use a. Because why? It's because after the noun, there's a verb. So if you have a sentence where there is a verb after the noun and you want to question that, then you won't use hal, you would use a. So you won't say hal zaydun qama, you said a zaydun qama. Yeah? Yeah, you want to repeat? Okay. Hal does not come before a noun which has a verb after it. E.g. Hal zaydun qama. For one moment, pretend hal is not there. Just let's focus on this sentence here. Zaydun qama. Yeah? What does it mean? Zayd stood up. Zayd is a noun because it's the name of a person. All names of person, places are nouns, right? Qama is a verb. Stood up. Like in English, stood up, that's is a doing. It's a verb. So this sentence by itself is a proper sentence. Nothing wrong with that. Zaydun qama you can use, which means Zayd stood up. Now, you want to question that. That this news that you got, that Zayd stood up, you want to question it. Somebody told you Zayd stood up, and you want to question that. You won't use hal. Did Zayd stand up? Now, for you to say that in Arabic, you wouldn't use hal. You would use ah. So, that, instead of hal, you would use Azaydun qama. The reason why you can't use hal is because after the noun there's a verb. So in that kind of situation, hal is not applicable. You use a. Although both of them have the same meaning, but the application is different. Yeah? Whereas in this one, but can come like this. Zaydun qa'imun. Forget hal. Zaydun qa'imun. Zayd is standing. Qa'imun, Zayd is a noun. Qa'imun is also a noun, which means standing. What does it mean? Standing. So, in this sentence, forget the hal. Zaydun qa'imun. Zayd is a noun. Qa'imun is also a noun.
So, he's standing there, so isn't it a verb?
It's a quality. It's describing what he's doing. Understand? It's not saying it in a specific tense. It's not trying to denote that. Is that verb being done in the past, present or future? When you're trying to explain that, when you're trying to give that kind of meaning, then in Arabic you would use a verb, different verb. But here, the actual purpose is to say the quality. You understand? It's like saying, the car is fast. So, car is fast. It's not specifically talking about a tense. Was it fast in the past? Was it fast in the future? No. It's talking about. It could be, you could apply it like, car is fast, meaning fast right now. you know, or so this way is stayed. Zayd is standing. That's he's explaining the quality. He's not sitting. He's not. He's just standing. It's a quality. Like Zayd is fat. That's a quality. For example, Zayd is small. That's a quality. Zayd is standing is also a quality. Okay, so some even in English, you got some words that you can use as a verb, you can use it as a noun, you can use it as an adverb, you can use it at different applications. You look up a dictionary, it'll tell you this is also adverb, also a verb. You understand? So it's just like in the Arabic language, it's even more rich than English. It's even more rich than English. So although his question is very relevant, it does give that kind of meaning. And the reason why it's relevant, that sometime this word, which is a sifat, a noun, will do the work of a verb. Because of that meaning that's sometimes implying, it will do the work of a verb, which again, you will understand in the later books. And how it does the work of a verb, we will know afterwards. We're actually still touching the surface. We're not gone far yet. Right. So as you can see, for one moment, hal is gone. Focus on this sentence. Zaydun qa'imun. Is it a complete sentence or incomplete? Complete sentence. Zaydun qa'imun. What does it mean? Zayd is standing. Now you want to question that. Okay, first of all, let's digress this. Is the first word a verb or a noun? Noun. The second word, is it a verb or a noun? Noun, right? So both of the words are noun. Yes? Now, according to this rule, can we use hal or not? Yes. Why can we use hal? Right. So the rule is this: hal does not come before a noun which has a verb after it. So if there is no verb after it, you can use it. Remember, you can use it anywhere. This is specific. These rules only apply to hal. So if you was told to write some sentence, if you know the application, then you write the sentence correctly. Although the meaning may be same. It's like if you wanted to write, you know this. Yeah, but you don't put the K there. For example, K-N-O-W, which means no. Yeah, if you don't put the K, they're gonna say he doesn't know how to write English. Although it means probably, you know, in transliteration purpose, it kind of sounds the same, but it's still wrong English. Same way here. If you want to write the correct sentence in Arabic, then you need to know the applications of each word. So this is the slide. There's two things I wanted to speak about hal and ar, which although I didn't mention here, but I thought I'd give it to you so that at least you will, inshallah, we'll come across many more times. So we will go over it again and again and again. So if we forget, there's more chance of recapturing afterwards. Okay. Again, if you have any questions you want to ask us now, why it's still fresh in your mind? Yes? Anybody? Alhamdulillah. Asking questions. Like I said, asking questions. Hal and ar, which are written at the beginning of a sentence, are two ways of asking questions such as, is this? In Arabic. E.g., is this a pen? Hal hadha qalamun? Ahadha qalamun? Now see, if you look at this, Hadha qalamun. Hadha is a pronoun because it's talking about a specific noun. In this case, it's talking about qalam. Right? So it's called a pronoun. And pronouns, by its nature, will be a noun because it's talking about a noun. Right? So hadha is a noun. Qalamun, is it a noun or a verb? Noun. Why is it a noun?
It's an object.
It's talking about an object. And qalam is an? It's an object, yeah, pen. So, هَذَا قَلَمٌ, both of them are nouns. So, can you use hal there?
Yeah.
Yes, you can. So, this is correct. هَلْ هَذَا قَلَمٌ and أَهَذَا قَلَمٌ, obviously, how we know is abused by everybody. You can use it anywhere. So, هَلْ هَذَا قَلَمٌ أَهَذَا قَلَمٌ gives them both meaning. Note, how R becomes a part of the following word but hal is written separately. This is talking about how to write it. Okay? So here, to a lay person, a looks like it's part of hadha, it's part of one word, ahadha. Whereas ahadha is not one word, it's two words. A is one, hadha is one. Whereas hal, you know, to a lay person, even if he's, you know, just knows, read a little bit of Arabic, he knows that hal is probably a different word. That's what he's trying to say here. That's all it is. In order to answer this type of question, we need to learn the words for yes and no in Arabic. Yes means na'am, and no means la. These are the very common words to use for affirmative and negative. Right? You have other words like ajal. Ajal also means na'am, means yes. But again, ajal and na'am is different. Ajal you use in different contexts or different scenarios, and na'am you would use it in generalized. But we're not going to go into that for now. Note, also the shape of the question mark in Arabic. Yeah, obviously, because in Arabic we go from right to left. That's all it is. So, hal hadha qalamun? What does that mean? Is this a pen? So, and if you look at the picture, what is it? Is it a pen? No, what is it? Key. So, you say, la, no. Hadha miftahun. No, this is a? Key. Next question, look at the next picture. أهذه مسطرة. مسطرة means ruler. Okay, we've done it before. So as you can see, it is a ruler. So you say نعم, yes. نعم, I think every person knows that. Everybody says نعم. Every person who knows a minute Arabic, you'll say أخي and نعم. نعم and أخي. That's it. You talk, start speaking Arabic, I don't know anything. But why are you saying أخي and نعم for that? So these are the words. نعم means yes. هذه مسطرة. Yes, this is a ruler. أهذه مقص. مقص means look here.
Scissors.
مقص means scissors. And what's in the picture? Stapler. لا هذه دباسة. No, this is a stapler. هل هذه شمعة؟ What does شمعة mean? Candle. So what is it? نعم هذه شمعة. Yes, this is a candle. So we got exercise number 8. If you can just copy those, write down. Okay. Wait. We haven't finished yet. Okay, you do that, then we carry on for the next after Isha. If you can do this now in the next 5 minutes, then we go for Isha afterwards. So if you can just write this down. Just write it down on a piece of paper so it gets you the bit of practice how to write it down. So this one gets lower. Just I'm talking about exercise number 8. Okay. Exercise number 8, that's it. That should only take 5 minutes. Just copy this. That's it.
Just copy words, right?
Yeah, just copy. Just all he's saying is copy. Just follow what he says. That's it. No one's saying to write an essay about it, about anything. Just do it. Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to give a thesis on it. 250 words or something. Just copy those words. That's it. 5 minutes, and then we're gonna go for Salah, and then we do the next one. Exercise number 9. And after Isha. It's going to be all about exercise, so I'm just going to chill. I'm going to let you do exercise. So, yeah, the R is more general. Hal is more specific. Sometimes does give more emphasis, and sometimes it's because al-lugha to be sima. Language is something which is come down through hearing. It's not something which you can make up. Or it's come down through generation, and if it's been taught like that, or if it's been heard by the Arab, like the native Arab, to speak like that, then obviously we gotta change it from our own, you know. So this is why majority of the rules that have come about is because of studying the language and how it's been applied, and then they come up with the general, just to make it easy for a non-native Arabic speaker. Same with English. People pick up English, may not know a single grammar of English, but they can speak perfect English. It's the mother language, it's what it's called, my mother tongue. You just pick it up and this is how you say it. If you ask a person, why do you say it like that? What are you talking about? I said, well, mom says it like that, I don't know. If you say, look, you're saying noun there, you say verb, you know. But people back home, if you tell them, they'll tell you everything. This is the verb, this is the noun, this is like this, this is that. They give you adverbs and this and that. And you're thinking, where do we miss out in school that all that stuff then?
It's true.
But now I think they've started picking up the grammar. So my daughter comes home and says, what's this, what's that? And I go, hey, this is something we learn in Arabic, but not in English. But this is what's helping you. This will help you also in English. Because obviously, we're going to say in English, we're going to know the terminologies that we're using. I'm sure, how many times have we heard of pronouns? Very few. Adjectives, we have used, probably now we hear them. Adverbs, probably now we've heard them. But it's not something that... Then you have propositions. They will come, what is propositions in the language? So these are all different terms that will come across. Okay, but if you have done it, inshallah, if we get ready for Salah now. Time for Salah is in 3-4 minutes time. If anybody wants to wudu, can go and do wudu. What do I do? Press something?
Yeah.
Press. Downstairs. Okay, we'll just start again. What do I press here? Just end play, yeah?
Yeah, it's on.
Oh, it's on, is it? Okay, so everyone's on the exercise number 8. So inshallah, we'll start with exercise number 9. Complete the pairs of questions and answers below in Arabic using the English translation to guide you. Okay, so if you look at the first example, هل هذا قلم طويل؟ Is this a long pen? Then obviously you can see it is a pen. You would answer in affirmative. So you would say نعم هذا قلم طويل. Right? Now, two things you need to bear in mind. A is the pronoun. You've got to use the right pronoun here. One is you've got masculine, which is هذا, and then you have the feminine one, هذه. So the word that you are going to use it for, it's a demonstrative pronoun. So the one that you're going to demonstrate or you're going to point out, if that word is feminine, then use hadhihi. And the signs are feminine, one is tai, marbuta, and other signs. Here, all the feminine words will have tai, marbuta. So straight away, you see tai, marbuta, you know that you're going to use hadhihi, not hadha. So bear in mind that, and please answer all the questions. Do exercise number 8, and inshallah, we will do one at a time, asking everybody, inshallah. So if you can do it in the next 10 minutes, inshallah.
Okay.
So I did the first one for you. It says, هَلْ هَذَا قَلَمٌ طَوِيلٌ? Is this a long pen? As you can see, it is a pen, and it's supposedly to be long. So say, yes, نعم. And you can see the English, yes, this is a long pen. Naam, hadha qalamun tawilun. So you have the English translation, you gotta fit it in. In the question area, you can use a or you can use hal. Although the one they've used is all hal, but you can use a as well. As you can see, they've used a in. The translation's there already, you just have to write in Arabic. They've got the translation for you, don't worry. It made it a bit more easier. strictly 10 minutes because we've got exercise number 10 coming up, and that's quite long. Some of them you got to do questions, some of them you got to do the answers. Also, while you're writing it, do try to pronounce it as well, so your pronunciation will become better. So read it out to yourself. I'm sure, hope you're not copying each other like we used to do back in the old days. Thank you. 10 minutes is nearly up. Whoa, one minute left.
Huh? Oh, you can't.
I can see my clock in front of me there. The exercise number 10 is quite long. So it's 2 pages. We've got to finish it. Still behind. Inshallah, it's pretty much easy as we go along.
Easy for you.
Now, bear in mind, I'm talking about for you guys on that basis.
The sentences completely make sense because they're short.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the answer and the question, they're actually straightforward, it's not.
No, they've made it. They've,
you get the first bit
they've right. Constructed it in such a way that the structure is from easy. As you go along, you start getting used to the sentences. Like if you go to page.
No, I'm just.
You're going to. Page 27. That's when it gets a bit tricky. You're going to start forming sentences. You got page 27. You got to describe everything. What's in that? We're using the vocab that you've done and the sentence that you formed.
So I was reading Holy Quran the other day, because in the old days, Siyaraton means the caravan, a camel, wasn't it?
Say again?
Siyaraton.
Siyara.
Because that means a caravan, doesn't it? Because in the old days, it was a gafla, wasn't it?
So yeah, I mean, in modern terminology is used for a car.
Yeah, I mean, good, but I mean, I think in the Quran it says
yes, as well. Yes.
Caravan was going along.
Yeah. But how do you saw
it? Yes, it was the end. Yeah, it was coming towards the end. Yeah. It is in that.
English is the other
way. Okay, brothers.
Yes.
All right, time's up. Hand your papers in. I'm not sure. Let's exercise number 8, 9. If we start from you, if you can do the
pen.
Yeah.
Hal haza kalmun tawilun? Naam. Haza kalmun tawilun.
Okay, number 2, brother. Yeah.
Hal hadihi.
Miss Taratun.
Miss? Where?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right, okay. Yeah. Miss Taratun.
Tawi.
Oh, yeah. Tawi. Latun. La. Hadihi. Miss Taratun.
Very good. Next one, number 3.
You can read my writing, it's good. Hal hadihi haqibatun thaqilatun. And la hadihi haqibatun safifatun.
Yeah. Number 4, Zubair.
question is, هل هذا بيت كبير؟ Answer is, نعم هذا بيت كبير.
Next one.
هل هذه ساعة صغيرة؟
صغيرة.
صغيرة. لا هذه ساعة كبيرة.
كبيرة. Remember صفة موسيقى in feminine it could be same. Brother Shahzad, next one. Number six.
نعم هذا دفتر جديد.
Okay, first one again.
Question is, هل هذا قلم طويل؟
Next one.
Question again, sorry.
Number two.
Question is, هل هذا
هل
هذه مسطرة طويلة؟
No.
Answer is, لا هذه مسطرة قصيرة.
Next one, number three.
Question is, هل هذه
are you reading somebody else's work?
Did
you not get right on a piece of paper?
I did. I didn't get down that far.
Oh, right.
Haki button.
I think I'll have to use this soon.
We don't function
properly. Okay, say again. Say number three again.
حقيبة
ثقيلة. And
the answer is لا هذه حقيبة خفيفة.
Very good. Number four.
هل هذا بيت كبير؟ نعم هذا بيت كبير.
ما شاء الله. So the whole exercise of making you read out that you get to read the actual words and get familiarize yourself with the words, so that way you're pronouncing the words. So sorry for making it difficult for you to do it, but it's you know, if the more you say it, the more easy it will become. Okay, next one, trade number 10. What is this? Ma hadha. Now, like I was explaining about ma is to interrogate or question something which is inanimate, something which is not human, okay, in this. And if you want to question something which is animate, meaning human, then you use man. So here they're exclusively talking about objects and not exactly object, but inanimate, meaning not human beings. So ma means what in Arabic. To ask what is this, you follow it with hadha and hadhihi. Again, it's a demonstrative pronoun. If the thing that you're talking about is a feminine, you would use hadhihi, and if it's masculine, you use hadha. Again, it's used for singular. If it was dual, then you won't use hadhihi, you use hatani, and if it was hadha, hadhani. Again, this will come in later exercise. So we're talking about feminine, which is singular, or masculine, which is singular, and it is inanimate, meaning not human. Okay, so for masculine inanimate, ma hadha, and in feminine inanimate, you use ma hadhihi. Based on that, this whole exercise. So we'll do the first example. Asadun is a lion, and the word asad here is masculine. As you can see, that it has no ta'i marbuta, no signs of femininity, and also it's not name of any female, etc. So you use mahada. Okay. So what is this? The correct answer is hada asadun. This is a lion. Kittatun. As you can see, kitta is an inanimate and it's got ta'i marbuta, which means it's a feminine. So you use hadhi. Yes?
Don't you mean unpersonal?
Unpersonal, yes. Basically, it's not a person, yeah. Here, kittatun is, as you can see, is ta'i marbuta, it's got ta, so it's feminine, you use ma hadhihi. So ma hadhihi, what is this? Hadhihi qittatun, which means this is a
cat.
Another word for qitta is hirra. Okay, so if you can do all the questions, please, up to the end of page number 11. Yes?
So we have for masculine, we have to say ma hadha.
Yeah.
Feminine ma hadhihi.
Hadhihi, yes.
What if you don't know what it... So say if I don't know what that blackboard rubber is, ruler is,
yeah.
And I say to you, I don't know, if I don't know what it, if it's masculine or feminine, how would I ask it?
Oh, you mean if you didn't know what the word is?
Yeah.
Then you would just say hadha. See, if you would, obviously...
Like for example, like that rubber, yeah. If I'm asking you what is that,
yeah.
But I don't know if it's masculine or feminine, I would say ma.
Then you would say, ayyu shay'in hadha? What is this object? So the actual object will be masculine.
Okay.
When you define it, then it will become feminine or masculine.
Okay.
So you use a general term.
Yeah, general term is...
Yeah. You say, ayyu shay'in hadha? Shay means thing. And shay is masculine. Yeah, what is this thing?
Yeah.
Okay, so brothers, if you can do up to end of page 11, that will take you to the end of the lesson.
Right, so kalmun should be this. So mahada.
Plus all these extra things that we do will help us in book 3. So we'll come again, so inshallah it'll make it easy for yourself.
How many weeks is this course?
This one's 10 weeks.
10 weeks.
We're in week number 4 at the moment. Inshallah.
So we're in week number 4, so 6 weeks ago, so April.
It's really to do it justice. We need to understand at least, you know, an ample part is you're looking at book 5, book 6 before you can actually start learning the understanding the Quran as well.
Book 4, book 5,
you'll actually learn lots of grammar and lots of words, and the Quran will become much more easy to understand. Inshallah. Inshallah, no, it's steadfastness, that's the main thing.
So you know, earlier, so you had na and la, and la being no. So in the Quran, you've got kalla.
Kalla.
Which is no, isn't it, as well? But that, it's like a certain no.
Yeah.
Alright, it's pretty
clever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, it's not exactly. No, this la is more general.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't say kalla?
Kalla means never.
Yeah.
One is no, one is never. Although it's negating, but it means it's never going to happen in the future.
I see.
Present. And some of these are nouns and not particle in Arabic in language context. Plus, if you do with the intention of learning Arabic, so you can understand the Quran, this will be a reward for you. So that intention, and plus you learn another language. If you ever get assigned to Middle East, and you can say mahada, every question mahada. You think, what's wrong with this guy? Everything's asking me, what's this? Want a fat wage? Naam.
If you speak it and if you make an effort, you
these little sentences you can start.
Time, like, for example, near a month away in Hyderabad, you slowly pick up something.
Yeah, these things I'm saying. If
you can get slightly, you can get across what you're trying to say to people.
By book end of book 3, you'll be very easily able to formulate a sentence. And if you was to go formulate something, you can start saying, and they'll you know.
I still think you're foreign.
I still think you're foreign. But I can't just fob you off so easily.
They're still treating a third person.
Yeah.
And this just says, it is a...
Well, they're saying that. My, one of my Arab friends said that you really speak very good Arabic.
To you?
Much.
You can speak good Arabic?
No, not me. Are you crazy?
Oh, me?
When you ask for
Wait, have I ever spoken to him? No.
Yes.
Do you know when he's come every so often?
But that's only in
Every now and then,
if you didn't,
like
then you
see
masculine.
Oh, right, okay. Yes, you were saying something?
Say,
this is Fusha.
Yes, this is Fusha. Yeah. This is classical.
It's like saying Fusha.
Yeah, yeah. Said. Not fluently, but I can. Yeah. Fusha is like saying the Queen's English. So this is the proper, this is the Arabic that we use in television and obviously in the Quran. So when it comes to radio, this the one used colloquial. You know, not the Yemen and Woman. This is not used. This is the language that they were teaching universities back there. And this is what you're, this is the same language that you used in Quran and Hadith. But obviously they have modern words which weren't used at that time. Like television. They'll say television as well, you know. That's a new word for them.
So could you speak with the modern slang Arabic?
Yeah, but again it'd be unprofessional if you were to speak that in offices and everything. But there is no speaking, but again, if you could speak this, see the normal lay Arabic person, he can't speak this. If you start speaking to this, you can straight away, you can tell an educated Arab and non-educated Arab. An educated Arab will be able to speak to you in this language, Fusha. A non-educated Arab, he will struggle. And then he will just shy away and go away from you.
But he will understand.
He will understand, but he won't be able to speak it. It was a gala, he will say this and that.
But the Queen's English is more like about the accent.
No. One is the accent, one is the actual.
Yeah, English.
It's not just the accent; it's the words as well.
It's the grammar as well.
It's grammar. Yeah.
Yeah. If you listen to the other people speaking, then
you got a lot of slang words coming, like bog.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Bog
not
is
not just bog,
is
but also words
they use like fancy words.
Yeah.
You know, like you would say.
Instead of saying, you know, can I? You say, may I?
Yeah, you know, say, you say,
the accent and tone as well.
You could tell a layperson when he's speaking, you know, in a colloquial way. He will not use
slang ways of speaking.
Yeah, slang, lots of slang words.
Giza.
Giza is not a proper.
No, it's not.
It's not. You want.
When I was a child, Giza was the boiler.
Yeah,
but
we say bog. Bog means toilet.
Yeah.
Slang. But in English, you won't say bog, you say toilet.
So you'll probably speak better English. Grammatically English.
Yeah, I don't know. No, like sometimes they won't say toilet, I need to go to the gents.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just trying to say.
In America, they call it restroom.
Yeah.
They go to sleep, I think that's the only time they get rest. It's 24 hours working. Especially in the Middle East, they really appreciate when somebody knows Arabic. They really appreciate it. Because it makes life easier. Especially if you go for a job interview.
Which is
really everyone's finished? Page 11?
Mm.
Not really. Mashallah, very good. What's that?
Urdu. When
you're writing, Urdu is actually it's a language that's been formed from mainly three languages. It's
Persian,
Arabic, Hindi. It's a language of the army, they said it. Hatim, the army was Indian army was full of Hindi, the laws, everything.
It's mainly like Hindi.
Spoken Hindi, but written is Persian and mostly Arabic.
Urdu is spoken.
Hindi, absolutely.
But it has a lot of Arabic words in them.
Yeah.
A lot of Arabic words.
Hindi plus Arabic.
And now, words are different. The modern Urdu has a lot of English words as well. So if you look in the Urdu dictionary, you'll find a lot of English words in now. So it's expanding these lights. They haven't got that far yet. The day when they start putting Giza, that's when Urdu is finished. There's no Urdu left, something else.
There's a lot of Arabic words in the Oxford Dictionary as well, apparently.
Yeah. Really?
Like,
yeah, it's like
24 Ulama.
Ulama is in... Alright, are we all finished then? Can we... okay, let's start, brother thing. Let's do the first one.
Ma haza haza kalabun.
Kalbun.
Kalbun.
Yeah. Brother here. Next one, brother.
Number two.
This one. These were two examples.
Mahadihi. Hadihi. Nahlatun.
Nahlatun. Nahlatun means bee, yeah? Suratul Nahl. There's a surah in the Quran called Nahl, which means bees. Huh? Next one.
Mahada Qirdun.
Again, Qird is coming to the Quran. Qirdatan Khasi'een. About a group of Jews that Allah Ta'ala made them, change them into monkeys. It's in Surah Baqarah. So Qird is coming to the Quran as well. Go on, next.
Ma hadihi. Hadihi bumatun.
Okay, next one.
Ma hadihi. Hadihi farashatun.
Farashatun. Brother Shazad. Number 6, Brother Shazad.
Mahada.
Karen, answer.
Hada Khisanum.
Very good. Number 7, brother.
Mahada. Hada Dubbun.
Next one, brother.
Mahadihi. Hadihi Na'amatun.
Next one.
Mahada. Hada Filun.
Yeah, feel, we did it. Surah Al-Fil. Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bil fil. Next one.
Mahada. Hada. Timsahun.
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 Next one.
Mahazihi. Hazihi. Dajjajatun.
Dajjajatun. Yeah, Dajjaja, you'll come across that a lot in Saudi. Dajjajatun Mashwiya. Roasted chicken everywhere, wherever you go. Next one.
Mahadihi. Hadihi. Sulahfatun.
Next one.
Mahadihi. Hadihi. Samakatun.
Next one.
Mahadihi. Hadihi.
Next one.
Mahada Jamalun.
Jamal is coming to the Quran as well. Next. Shazad.
Mahadihi. Hadihi Dudatun.
Yep, next one.
Mahadihi. Hadihi Namlatun.
Namlatun. Again, Namla has come in the Quran, Surah An-Naml. Yes, next one.
Ma hadihi, hadihi zarafatun.
Yep, next one.
Ma hada, that's the way. Ma hada, hada, arnakun.
Yes, next one.
Ma hada, hada,
su'ban. Remember, Musa Salam's stick became thu'banun mubin. It's in the Quran as well. When he throws his stick, what happens? It becomes? The Quran says, it becomes thu'banun mubin, open, clear, big snake or serpent. Okay, inshallah. So next week we'll do page 12, page 13, and page 14 and 15. Okay, so inshallah, if you can look at that. Get yourself ready for next lesson, inshallah. JazakAllah, assalamu alaikum.